Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Who?
Well, good morning. My name is Dave Kabakin.
And good morning. I'm Jay Marie Schaefer.
Morning, Jay Marie. Jamie and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and some combination of us are here every single weekend talking to you about New York Mets baseball, Jamie. I don't know if you knew that. That's all we talk about now.
How fascinating.
How fascinating.
It is quite, yeah. We'll get into what we actually talk about most of the time, but I have to say this. So, Jamie, the Mets threw a no-hitter a week and a half ago. We made a big deal of it. And then the other day, they were down 6 runs in the 9th inning, and they won.
I heard.
I immediately Googled signs of the apocalypse, and thankfully, the Mets coming back from 6 runs is not one of the signs.
Well, it's certainly better than talking about a team that's now 7 games under 500 like the Red Sox.
I wasn't going to talk about it.
So that's all right. Hey, it is what it is. They're not very good right now.
But the good times roll for those Metropolitans. But we are here to talk about estate planning and Medicaid applications and crisis plans and how could we avoid something called probate. We're going to take your phone calls if you'd like to call at 518-476-5900. And we'd love to have you in the office as well in Albany, Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, or down in Kingston. And I know you do lots of Zoom appointments, Jamie. So we're pretty accessible, and it's a terribly, terribly important topic. Unfortunately, we're here to talk about it. And Jamie, how are you? Happy Mother's Day weekend.
Hi, thank you. Yes, Mother's Day weekend. I get to just relax and do nothing all weekend.
Is that how it works?
No.
That's funny. You're so funny.
So everyone else is going to cook and clean around you and create the meal and the whole thing?
Yeah, that happens, sure.
Well, so I heard you and Ben chatting about your plans, but I didn't hear it myself. What are you doing?
Taking my son to buy a new car. That's really exciting.
the classic on Mother's Day, you buy someone else a car. I like it.
Wow.
That's because
even though I'm older than you, could I be your son for tomorrow?
Kids are so expensive, aren't they?
Yep.
See, your kids are young, David. The things they need don't cost as much, right?
One would think, yeah. Sure.
The bigger they get, the bigger the costs are.
Well, so, we'll get back to the car thing in a second because it brings up a really important estate planning point. But what else are you going to do? So you have family coming in or what? You guys
going out for dinner? Everyone will be home tomorrow. It's a nice day. We'll probably cook here, maybe barbecue outside.
Oh, it's supposed to be a gorgeous, gorgeous day.
Good day to be outside.
65 and sunny. Yep.
Beautiful.
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 Very nice. Well, all the mothers out there, hopefully they have wonderful plans as well. Hopefully they're not buying their kids cars tomorrow. No. Well, so Jamie, you're buying your son a car. I know why you're buying him a car. Do you want to share with the rest of the audience why you're buying him a car?
Oh, what a butthead he is.
Yeah. Well, he's a over 18-year-old butthead, is he not?
Yes, he is. Yes.
And what happened to him?
There's something called oil that keeps the car running.
Oh, Lord.
You need to check on, right, and make sure it's there.
You know, they should probably invent some sort of a light on the dash that tells you when you're low.
Yeah, like low oil. Yeah.
That would be a great idea because, you know, what happens if you don't have any oil and you drive the car?
Yeah, it doesn't run anymore. Its engine seizes up.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. Much so that it's not even worth fixing the car.
Well, you know, thankfully, the reason why he needs a car isn't because there was some sort of big accident or he totaled the car
That. He's fine. No one got hurt. That's true.
But if something like that had happened, and sorry to bring everything the bad news all the time, but does he have a power of attorney, Jamie? You're an estate planning attorney. Surely he's got a power of attorney, right?
We'll just say yes for the purposes of this discussion.
Well, it's really important. I had this conversation with a client yesterday about how every single person has to have a power of attorney. It's kind of like, really, everyone? And it's some sort of I'm trying to sell him on the idea of powers of attorney. It's like, no, if you're 18, and you don't have a power of attorney and something bad happens, small bad stuff, big bad stuff, you can't have someone else handle your affairs unless you have named someone in a document called the power of attorney saying they could handle your affairs.
Absolutely. So, you know, I always say that you should have power of attorney, healthcare proxy once your kids reach 18 and get into college, or because they could be away and something could happen and you're not going to be able to help them out. You know, even without a healthcare proxy, you may not even be able to find out medical information if there's, you know, an emergency, they have to go to the ER or something. So it's really important to have both of those documents because you're used to being able, when they're under 18, to call and say, I'm their mother, and finding out stuff.
Right.
And then suddenly you can't do that anymore.
And maybe in addition to buying them a car, you'll have them sign a power of attorney for Mother's Day.
That would be a great idea, yes.
I like it.
And for the purposes of this illustration, she will.
She will, yes. Very good. Okay. So... Jamie, when I drive in, I listen to Magic 590, as everyone should. And so there are a bunch of songs that came on. One I actually had never heard of and really tug at the heartstrings, Ben.
Yeah, it does. It's from Jimmy Dean, The Sausage King.
The Sausage King.
Called IOU. It's really not a song because he pretty much talks through the whole thing. But there is music in it, so I guess it would be called a song.
Jamie, do you know this song?
I do not.
IOU. And... it's basically like he's reading a letter to his mother.
It touches
everything.
Yeah, it's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
The part about the apple pie, I couldn't.
Yeah, there's two slices and three people, and all of a sudden she just doesn't like apple pie anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I have a Jimmy Dean story. My kids love Jimmy Dean sausages so much that. If you ever did this, when they're in like 7th, 8th grade, they have this thing they have to do for school where they have to carry an egg around for a week to see what it's like to care for a child.
Yeah.
So my kid named his egg Jimmy Dean.
How random is that?
Wow.
So how did egg Jimmy Dean do that week? Did he survive?
Jimmy Dean did okay until... He was left in school over the weekend, which was kind of like failing, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
You can't leave your child alone for 2 days, right?
No, it doesn't work out well that way.
Well, so, Ben, do you remember the song that was after IOU this morning?
I don't, but I can look it up. Do you know what it is?
It's Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Ah, yes.
Jamie, we've talked about Aretha Franklin's estate before, and listening to her sing that fantastic song, I had to Google it again, and there's some updates to her estate that I didn't realize, and I thought we could maybe talk about it for a moment.
Sure.
So everyone knows Aretha Franklin, right?
Queen of Soul.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like what you did there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed away a number of years ago, and she was worth somewhere between, you know, 30 and 80 million bucks, depending on how you value some of the music and collectibles and stuff like that. So they weren't sure she had a will, Jay Marie, and there was a whole hoopla about it. And in fact, under her couch cushions.
What?
Yeah. They found three wills.
No.
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
And then in a notebook... just recently, about a year ago, they found a fourth will that had not been signed, but they weren't sure if the existence of the draft, Jamie, meant that maybe somewhere there's a signed one. So they kind of pumped the brakes on everything on this really complicated probate. First of all, Aretha Franklin should not have a probate, right, Jamie?
No, she should have a trust.
Like it's the lowest hanging fruit, right? You're Aretha Franklin, you have a trust, so that way... Dave Kubikin and Jamie Schaefer aren't talking about your estate plan on the radio because you did a trust, right?
That's right. But she could afford a trust.
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, depending on the will, you know, if you pass away, Jamie, God forbid, and you have a will, and that's the only document, the only operative document you have, that will has to go through probate. It's got to go through surrogate's court, and it's got to be proven. The state needs to be satisfied that you had your wits about you when you did it, and all interested parties are notified, et cetera, et cetera. And when it's one will, it's the parties in the will, like mentioned, getting things, they got to be notified about the will, and the parties who would get money if there was no will, called distributees, they're notified about their rights to potentially contest the will. So far, so good. When there's three wills, sometimes all of those people need to be notified. Where there's a possible fourth one, well, then we have even more people going through it. Now, in the articles, I just quickly looked at this in the last 5 minutes before we got here. In my Google search, it turns out one of the attorneys for Aretha Franklin resigned, stepped down from his position. And later on in the process, he sent a bill to the court. You know how much money he was looking for, Jay Marie, this probate attorney for Aretha Franklin?
It's got to be huge. I can't imagine.
So $159,000 was his legal fee.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think we're charging enough, Jane Marie, in a related story, apparently.
<I know. Jeez. laughs> That is insane.
So, you know, it touches all the lessons, guys. First of all, have a plan. It sounds like she did have a plan, but if literally no one looked under the couch cushion, what would have happened if someone just threw that couch out? Obviously, avoiding probate's a wonderful idea. It doesn't sound like there was a trusted person in her life that knew about the plans. And this brings up a really important topic. I started and circled it, Jamie. So someone comes in and meets with you. They ask you all the time, so what do I do with my drafts? Who am I supposed to tell about my documents? And what does Jamie tell that person?
I said you don't have to tell anyone if you don't want to, but you should tell your executor so they know you have a will. And it's up to you whether you give them a copy of the will. But at least tell them you have it and give them Herzog's information so they can contact us if anything happens. Because some people don't necessarily want them to know the details ahead of time of the will. So that's what I say for the will. Now, for the power of attorney and healthcare proxy, that I say you have to give that to the agents, because if there's an emergency, that's when they need it, right? They're not going to be able to do anything, or they may not be able to go to your house and find a copy unless you tell them. So, or just tell them how to get it easily. But your agents have to know that you have these documents and where they are.
Exactly right. Your agent should not get a call from Jane Marie saying, hey, you've been named agent for your mother and she's not doing well. She needs you to act now. Right? That part should not be a surprise. It should not be a surprise to your family that you have a will or that you have a trust. They don't need to know all the details as to who gets what while you're still alive, and when things aren't perfectly equal, that may cause a lot of trouble. So, as Jane Marie said, you don't have to do any of those things. However, what a lot of our clients do is they say, look, I told my son, if something happens to me, call Dave, call Jane Marie, call the firm. They have the documents. They know what's going on. Doesn't sound like in the case of Aretha Franklin, there were people who knew, oh, no, wait a minute, we know she did this will on this date. They basically assumed there was no will and then happened to find these documents, which blows my mind. For everyone out there who's not Aretha Franklin, it's so easy. You tell your family you have an estate plan. Does not matter what the law firm you have it with. You let them know that you have an estate plan where original documents are. You tell people who have an active role during your life, hey, you might be asked to do something at some point. You're my proxy. You're my backup to the backup. You're this, you're that. And so that way everyone knows there is a plan, not necessarily what the plan is, but they know there is a plan.
Yeah, I had a case like 2 months ago. It was a woman who died, and her son has some type of disability, not too bad, but he can't manage things. So she appointed someone else as the executor and the trustee. But the executor didn't know he was picked.
Oh.
He found out after she died, and we got the will out. Now, luckily, in this case, he's happy to step up and do everything, and it's working out, but he just kept saying, I had no idea she picked me.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
It was crazy that he had no preparation for that.
What would have happened if they went through the whole process with Aretha Franklin, and then they found the will after it was over? It wouldn't be any good, right? Is there a statute of limitations on a will like that if you've already kind of gone through everything?
Yeah, so it's a really great, you know what, Ben, it depends.
It depends, it of course. Depend. It's a typical Dave Kubikian answer. So, yeah. But in this case, I agree with you.
It depends on where in the process we are. So okay. In this case, the will, the third will had not been probated yet. So now they press pause and say, wait a minute, do we have the right interested parties involved? Should we now start searching for an original copy of this unsigned fourth one that they found in a notebook with little notes and this and that. So it truly does depend. But if we're through the administration proceeding and then all of a sudden we find a will and it's been 3 years later, yeah, that's not happening.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why, one of the things that probate is, that one of the reasons why we need to let people know who are getting something in the will, as well as the people who might if there wasn't a will. There's also another version of it where we need to let people know who are getting less in a prior will. So we're notifying all these people. And what are these people supposed to do, Ben? They're supposed to let the court know, wait a minute, hold on, hold the phone. There is this other document we know about, right? There's this previous will. Or I got this petition for an administration, but I could swear that she had gone to Herzog Law Firm. And we really should check with them. So the whole, you know, one of the reasons probate takes so long, Jean-Marie, is because the court is dotting all its I's and crossing all its T's and making sure there isn't no other will out there.
Right, right. And funnily, we've had some cases recently where we only have a copy of a will. And we're, you know, trying to get that probated. So you can get it done if you only have a copy, but you have to go through a bunch of hurdles and affidavits to submit to the court. And sometimes you aren't able to do that. So what you have to prove if it's a copy is that there's good reason to believe that the decedent did not rip up the will, the original one, right?
It was just lost or something like that. We can't find the original.
Was lost and that there's, you know, the affidavits of attesting witnesses, they testify that they saw her sign the will. Well, you always have to do that, but even more important than a copy of the will. Right. And then some other evidence that she didn't revoke the will.
Yeah, and it, you know, when the facts are good, when there aren't a lot of people who are fighting, yeah, we could make that happen. When there's some sort of potential litigation involved, it gets really, really difficult because, you know, the court's presumptions are against you. And we need to show, well, wait a minute. See, they updated their retirement plan a couple years later. Mm-hmm. And it was right, you know, the same kind of scheme, the same percentages, that kind of, you know, it's all evidentiary. It does depend. All of this makes me think about what to do when a loved one dies, Ben.
Oh, and that would be a perfect segue into our weekly
our webinars, yeah.
A week of webinars, that's right.
We do have a week of webinars. Thanks so much for bringing that up.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could do that.
On Monday, May 16th at 2 p.m., where we're going to be talking about aging in place. Ben and I are doing it right now as we stare at each other.
I was going to say, I'm going to be busy because I'll be having a colonoscopy that day. So hopefully we won't have to worry about when a loved one dies.
So if big decisions have to be made during it, your agent on the power of attorney can act.
That would be my wife.
It comes together.
That is correct.
And you have a healthcare product. Oh, this is
yes,
perfect.
She can just tell them to pull the plug while they're doing it. Oh, sorry, he's not going to make it. Sorry, he's not going to make it. Just pull the plug. But wait a minute. We just want to know if
he's
can.
He's still breathing.
Yeah.
He's talking to us right now. No.
Put that pillow over his face. He's fine. But no, yes, I have a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney because I did it at Herzog Law Firm.
Well, thank you for that part.
You're welcome.
So aging in place, getting care at home as we age and need long-term care. We don't want to go to some facility if we don't have to. We like our house. We like our pictures on the wall and our garden and all that.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, May 17th at 2 p.m., how to plan your estate. A little roadmap, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But a lot goes into planning. Double down on that. On Wednesday, the 18th, what to do when a loved one dies. It's not all what we're talking about right now. It's also planning lessons and how to avoid some of these things that we're talking about. You don't have to worry about, you know, where your original will is if you have a trust, right? On Thursday, May 19th at 2 p.m., speaking of trusts, wills versus trusts, the great battle, the age-old battle. Do I do this? Do I do that?
It's like superheroes.
Superheroes.
Batman, Aquaman. You
Batman
know,
versus
like
Superman.
Yeah,
wills
whatever.
Wills versus trusts. Mm-hmm. All get the job done, by the way.
They do.
If they're done, it's more of like, do I have easy pass or do I not? or am I in the local lane? Am I on Route 9 or the North Way? Right, I'm going in the same direction.
Right. Yeah. But which one are you on?
Which one are you on? It depends on how bad you need, you know, coffee from Stewart's or something.
Yes. It's a Dave Kubikian. It depends.
Friday.
In the morning.
I'd love to have a sandwich named after me somewhere, and it's like, well, what's in the sandwich? It's like, whatever you want.
Yeah, it depends. It depends on what you want.
Friday, May 20th at 2 p.m., myths about Medicaid and estate planning. We're going to actually touch on a really big one later on, Jamery, which really got me riled up yesterday. I can't wait to tell you about it. But all these webinars are the week of the 16th. They're all at 2 p.m. All of them can be registered at our website, herzoglaw.com. All of them could be registered by calling 465-7581, as opposed to here, which is
518-476-5900, which you can just read right there.
Yes.
There it is.
Okay.
Thank you. Did you see that?
Yes.
Okay. I put it close enough so you could see it in your limited state of
seeing. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
Jamery, I really wish you were here. I need some backup in studio. I'm being bullied.
You are not.
No, I'm not.
Usually I'm the one who can't see. David's sight is pretty good.
That's right.
It's right in front of me.
Anyway.
It's funny, though, because every thing you're talking about, I have, like, questions on all this stuff.
Well,
so
that's
all.
I
don't have
callers,
any questions right now.
You could be our first caller, Ben.
I could be. When I get my cell phone, I can answer myself. Hello? I'll change my name. It's Bob from East Greenbush.
Well, we have 5-6 minutes before the break here, Jamery. So let me get into this a little bit, if you don't mind. Okay.
Sure.
I had lunch with a financial advisor, a good friend, and he was telling me about a mutual client, and we did a Medicaid trust for her. Okay. We put some investments in there, and she called him panicked and a little upset because she said, I didn't realize this trust would be such a pain in the, you know what?
Beep, beep.
And, well, why? Well, because I got to file all these tax returns and the accountant's saying that my trust has to pay taxes, and the accountant is saying that my kids need to report these gifts, and we need to do a gift tax return, and et cetera. And I looked at him, I said, oh, no, that's entirely all wrong. And he said, well, so first it's the accountant, you know, isn't understanding the kind of trust it is. He's thinking it's a different kind of trust, which it was not.
Right.
And then it doubled into the financial advisor friend saying, well, wait a minute, I thought the trust is irrevocable. And this gets to the heart of it all, Jamery. So the trust that you do for Medicaid planning, because we're worried about long-term care, is that an irrevocable trust, Jamery?
Yes, it's an irrevocable trust.
Okay. But irrevocable trusts come in different shapes and sizes. Some are really irrevocable, like the way we use the word irrevocable normally, right? And some are very slightly irrevocable, like technically irrevocable. The one that we do for long-term care planning most of the time is going to be slightly irrevocable, barely irrevocable, kind of irrevocable.
There's all these tricks around it, right?
Well, because it's called a grantor trust. Maybe, Jamery, you could explain to the audience what it means for a trust to be a quote-unquote grantor trust, because this is really, really important for all the tax consequences when we create it and the tax consequences every year. So what's a grantor trust?
So a grantor trust is where you keep some power over the trust. In our case, it's the right to receive income. That means that you get taxed on all of the income from the trust. So you report all the income on your tax return, even though the stocks or the bank accounts, the mutual funds are owned by the trust. So that's really important because the trust would pay higher income taxes, so it's better to have it reported on your income tax return. Now, you still have to file a trust tax return just to report the income. But the tax return that you file has a statement that says, you know, it's a grantor trust and all income is being taxed on the grantor's tax return. So that's kind of a different tax return than I think what you were talking about, where the trust was reporting the income and issuing or paying the tax, or was it issuing it to the beneficiaries and making them pay the tax? Either way, that's the wrong way to do it. So.
correct. And we like to say that this trust is tax neutral. So creating it doesn't result in any big tax consequences. The amount of tax you pay every year should be the exact same with or without this trust. Why? Because you personally, on your personal tax return, are the one paying the tax. So strike one on what the accountant said, because the trust is not paying taxes. Client is paying taxes. The reason for that is these retained interests that Jamie's talking about. One of them is the ability to receive income and be the beneficial owner of the trust. You're the trust beneficiary during your life. You have the right also to change your beneficiaries and your trustees. That gets to what we call control, but it's nonetheless part of an irrevocable trust. So we need to reprogram our brains as to what that word irrevocable means. But our clients are still maintaining the ability to change their beneficiaries or their trustees. The transfers, Jamie, to the trust are not gifts to the trust. They're not what we would call completed gifts. It doesn't generate any gift tax issues, no reporting requirements for gift taxes, nothing. Because on one side, before you did it, you were the exclusive user and occupier of your home. You paid all the bills for your home. If it was a CD, you were the exclusive recipient of the interest on the CD. If it was stocks, you're the exclusive receiver of dividends. You are the income beneficiary when you don't have a trust of all your assets. When you do the trust, you're still all of those things. You're still the income beneficiary. You still have exclusive use and occupancy of everything. Nothing changed. I mean, a lot changed because we created a trust and we retitled something. But on both sides of that equation, everything is for the benefit of the creator of the trust. And because you have the ability to change everything and receive all this benefit during your life, it's not a completed gift. It's an incomplete gift. There is no gift tax. When we talk about $15,000, $16,000 a year, it does not apply to any of this, Jamie.
That's right. And the other good thing about it not being a completed gift is that it's included in your estate. So that means you got to step up in basis. That's important. If you have stocks that you bought very low years ago, and now when you die, the stocks are much higher. So your basis becomes higher. So that means your heirs can sell that without any tax on the gain.
Right. So, for our accountant friend, who shall remain nameless, it's strike one, strike two, pretty much strike three here, because all of the assumptions were wrong. And, he may have just asked a really simple question, which has black and white answers, like, for example, is this an irrevocable trust? Yes.
Right. But
the bigger question, the better question, the more important question is it a grantor trust?
Right. And to be fair, the accountant may not have had a copy of the trust to review.
For sure.
Yeah, and that would be important to do that, to see how the trust was worded and if these special provisions were in there.
Exactly right.
All right, it's 8:30. We'll take our break right here. We'll be back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate Medicaid Planning Hour coming up right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And I'm Jamie Marie Schaefer.
Jamie Marie and I have had a callerless first half hour, Jay Marie. Very disappointing. No one had the nerve to call 518-476-5900 to have their calls answered. I like to think it's because we're so captivating.
Yes, or they're out shopping for Mother's Day presents last minute.
Probably. You mean mothers are out there shopping for groceries to cook Mother's Day dinner?
Ouch.
Yes, that absolutely. Or buying
please
their
don't
own.
Don't go out. Guys, take your wives, take your mom, take your grandma out. Please.
And guys are going to the convenience store to get the $5 roses, so they're all set.
Well, moms deserve everything you could possibly get.
Yes, they do.
Absolutely.
That'll be dinner out.
And this thing does not depend, Ben. We would not be here without moms.
That's right.
Factually speaking.
You may not be able to name your dad, but you know your mom. No doubt about it. Anyway,
we were talking about the irrevocable trust and the trials and tribulations of an accountant who kind of had it all wrong, and hopefully everything can be undone because he was preparing taxes all the wrong way. Words do matter, and legally, you know, a word like irrevocable is different than how you would use it day to day, and it's important for people to realize that, Jay Marie. There are immense tax consequences if things are categorized the wrong way. And one of the goals of the trust that we do, primarily one for long-term care, you know, avoid, costly Medicaid spend down, things like that, is that nothing really changes, right? Jamie, when you do your trust, who's living in your house after that? You still are. Who's paying the bills? You are. Who gets the STAR exemption? You. Everything is you. You're getting your income. You're getting your dividends. If you want to, you know, have money leave the trust, that can still be done. We won't say you can revoke an irrevocable trust because we'll mix words. You can undo this irrevocable trust in part or in full. So it's really important to realize those things, because when you do talk to your financial advisor or you talk to your accountant and you say, I did a trust, they will, the first question is going to be, oh, great, revocable or irrevocable? Like, you know, like that's the only choices there are. Right. What's your favorite color? Black or white, Ben? Right. There's no colors. No colors in the middle.
No.
But of course there are.
Of course there are.
Pink.
What's your favorite color, Jay Marie? Pink? Totally. I didn't take you for a pink.
Well, I live in a house full of boys, so if I want anything to be mine, it has to be pink.
I see.
No one else does it.
I like that.
So one of the other reasons, Jamie, people do trusts, and why Aretha should have done a trust, she didn't, is to avoid probate. And we always talk about probate, and we mentioned a little bit of it earlier. I've had a run of probates where the person who passed had a trust. They had a trust with us. And for some reason, there was one account that never had a beneficiary, never made it in. And this brings up a really super, super important topic, because trusts are expensive. I mean, I think they're worth it, but you're spending good money, and like, I want you to use it, right? We want you to avoid probate, because if you avoid probate, you pretty much paid for the trust.
Right, and oftentimes, you know, I met with a client this week who came in about her mom's trust. She said that her mom set up the trust years ago, but she didn't really talk with her children about it. She wanted to do everything herself. But she thought she was handling everything. Come to find out, she went to the bank and she made her account in trust for her children. Mm-hmm. Came that was that meant they were in the trust.
So hold on. Instead of something being in the trust, the account was labeled in trust for.
That's correct.
So what's the difference between the two?
So in trust for is just adding a beneficiary onto the account. So in trust for means it goes to that person when you die. It's not technically in the trust, even though it has the word trust in there. To put it into the trust, you have to change the whole name on the account to, you know, the Ivakubikian family trust. She didn't do that.
When she dies, it really doesn't matter, because one way or another, it'll go to those people, I guess. If those people are doing well, that's all right. We have names. You can avoid probate by having those kinds of accounts. But if people think that they're protecting their money, they're not, because in trust for account is still at mom's reach by herself. She doesn't need to get tricky with the trust.
And she needs to apply for Medicaid. And the daughter said, these accounts are in the trust, so I don't have to worry about them. And I had to tell her that, no, unfortunately, they're not in the trust, so that means they're not protected for Medicaid purposes.
I don't think people should just assume stuff. You know, we don't, our firm in particular, I can't speak for any other firm, we don't charge for the follow-up phone calls and for the meetings, you know, estate planning, Medicaid planning clients. It's like a fixed fee when you came in the first time, and pretty much we want you to call when any big stuff happens, good stuff, bad stuff. If you have a question as to, you know, because we use these words trust, and okay, so I went to the bank and I said I need to put this in trust. Well, if you didn't say you need it in this specific trust that you created, that bank may give you some forms that keep it in trust for your kids. Big, big difference, as Jamie's saying. It's not just about protecting money. And it brings up a super important topic here. Jamie, most people, yourself included, right? You have two kids, two boys, and your documents will read that everything between you and your husband go to each other, or nothing happens to your trust until you're both gone, right? And then everything goes to your issue, to the boys, to your two boys. And when we use that word issue, it means that if, God forbid, something happened to one of your boys, their share, their half, would go to their kids if they had any kids, right? Really super normal fact pattern and normal estate planning, normal drafting. I have this language. My parents have this language. My in-laws have this language. Everyone has this language, right? And so let's fast forward, or let's use me as an example, and we'll pick on my parents or we'll pick on my in-laws. Everyone's got kids and everyone's got grandkids, right? My brother has children. I have children. My parents' documents say that if my brother, God forbid, predeceased, his half is going to go to his girls. And then the trust, because it was written well, has rules as to when those teenagers would get money. They wouldn't get it now. They would get it over time. And in that case, it would be Uncle Dave who's in charge of that money. In my case, if you flip it would be my brother Dan who'd be in charge of my kids' money. Really, really standard stuff here. What are your thoughts about my wife, Jamie, Isabel, not being in charge of the money that my kids inherited from my parents? That Uncle Dan's doing it and not her. Because sometimes people get really upset. They say, wait a minute, I want my wife to be getting the money if I don't. Mom and Dad, I don't want, if I predecease, give it to my wife. Don't give it to my kids.
Right.
And my two cents is, you know, our clients typically want to take care of their family, which means their kids and their grandkids, their blood. And they're less concerned about taking care of their daughter-in-law or their son-in-law. Son-in-laws are great. I'm a son-in-law. Son-in-laws can get remarried one day and break off ties with the children, right? Who knows? So what are your thoughts on all that?
Okay, I'm just going to make me say something about your wife, but what if she, you know, immediately goes out and remarries, right?
Yeah, it's all possible. Absolutely. No, you know, everything's on the table. What we like guarantees. Right. So my parents would want to guarantee that their grandkids are seeing the fruits of all their labor if, God forbid, something happened to me or my brother. My in-laws would feel the same way. And, you know, in explaining documents to family, I have to be like, look, your wife is not listed on here at all because she's not going to get anything. You should have, you know, my brother should have life insurance to take care of his wife. It's not my parents' job, right, to do that. So that's one version. I think that's very normal. That being said, it's whatever you want. So we have like son-in-laws who are trustees of trusts and daughters-in-law who are powers of attorney. I'm sure you see that all the time, Jamie.
Right. I just did that for someone this week and we brought up that question. So we put in language that the daughter-in-law is trustee only if she was still married to my son. So that covers it a little bit. And also it helps the parent that if they get divorced and she kind of forgets to go in and change her estate planning documents, then she's covered there.
Gotcha. So that money would still go to the grandkids, and it's just a question of who's in charge of the money. It's those children's mother, if she still was married to their father, I guess. And it's somebody else, if not.
And then it goes to the sibling. So.
Gotcha. Also had a run of a couple people, and this is backfiring magnificently in our faces, just because it's a tough fact pattern. But sometimes it's, hey, I'm going to leave everything to my two kids, but one of my kids can't handle money very well. So I'm going to have, the older one be in charge of the money for the younger one. So everyone survives, mom and dad, right? And the two kids survive. And now one of the kids is in this incredibly tough spot where they have language that says they're basically to keep their sibling on an allowance, and they have discretion to give more money. And then, mom and dad pass eventually, and we got to, the logistics of that are awful, and you're going to have a sibling constantly calling you for money. It's a really tough spot to be in.
And you don't really want to have to do that for your, sometimes people do that because they can't think of anyone else to be the trustee, but it doesn't usually work out well.
We keep forgetting that when parents pass, this is a monumental thing, right? And sometimes the fault lines between siblings break apart because, we don't have to, what brought us together was dealing with mom's care, and now we don't have to. And all those things I felt I was slighted on in my life, I'm going to take it out on you now. So, not ideal.
Not a good idea. You have anyone else in the family to be the trustee, it's their idea, an aunt or an uncle or a cousin. It's probably going to be a better idea.
Yeah, or, teach your kids to be better with money, I guess, so that way you don't have to deal with that issue. You could be our first caller, 518-476-5900. We got 15 minutes left if you'd like to be number one. We probably have time for three callers, Ben.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Get started.
Yeah, in fact, we could play a little game where Jamie and I will say nothing, and you'll just handle the calls, and we'll just sit back here and critique you as to how you do. And you cannot use the word depends. It'll be like a little game.
Okay. All right. I'm ready. Let's go.
Well, Ben, I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but
it's fine.
So you have estate planning documents, right?
I do.
And you have a trust?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Nope.
Why or why not? Or what are you thinking about when you think about if you would ever do a trust? What goes into it for you?
Well, I would think that we would, first off, we would put our house in the trust.
Yeah.
And seeing as we've moved like three times in the last 6 months, it's probably not a good idea to worry about that just yet. We're both in fairly good health. Neither one of us.
You look fantastic for what it's worth.
Thank you very much.
The voice is like...
Rest of me looks like hell, but the voice sounds great.
You look great.
Yeah. So we're not thinking about that part of it yet, although we have thought about it, because at any time you can have a health event.
Yeah.
For example, my wife was in the hospital in February.
Oh, no.
Her brother had passed, and she had an event where she ended up in Samaritan for a few days.
Oh, no.
And they thought she had a heart attack. She did not. She had Takotsubo syndrome, which is, it masks as a heart attack.
Okay.
So when she got out with her cardiologist, she has fluid around the heart for now. She's taking medicine. She just had another meeting with the cardiologist, and she's doing better.
Good.
So this is something that will heal, hopefully, but it does make you think about, maybe we should put the house in a trust and get our stuff in there so that, we can start the 5-year look back.
Yeah. Well, and trust or no trust, you have a plan, right?
Yes.
And so how doom and gloom does your plan get? Because a lot of people say, I'll have, my spouse will be my agent, and then my backup will be this kid, and my backup to the backup is that kid. Do you go?
Yes.
How many backups are you going these days?
Just backup kid.
Okay.
And but they all know. We've had that conversation. When my parents were doing theirs, I expected to be the
executor. Yeah.
I was not. I lived up here. My sister was, because she lived down there.
Yeah.
But it hurt my feelings.
Sure.
I'm like, how can you not? Plus, I'm better with money.
Would it have hurt your feelings if they told you while they were still alive that that was the case?
Well, they're still alive.
Oh, okay.
They're still alive.
Oh, good.
Unfortunately, I don't have a relationship with them, but they are still alive. So I'm assuming that all of their planning documents go to my sister, and that's it.
Right.
So because I have no relationship with them. So I don't think that the naming of me as the executor would have made a difference.
Right.
My mom likes to live in the past and bring up things from 30 years ago.
Understood.
But you know, I think as we get older, we try to take those lessons that we've learned and, you know, make sure that the kids understand how this is going to go.
Right.
You know, they're both responsible adults. They're both married. Neither one are going to have kids.
Right.
So it kind of stops the train, the patent train right there.
Right.
You know, so it's basically just the four of us as it was, you know, for a few years before they got married. So
very cool. When I look at my family and think about things, it's crazy because I did like a life estate deed with my grandfather. So that's like a very, specific kind of transaction you do when the facts are right.
But you have relatives that you like. I mean, you get along with everybody.
Yeah, well yeah.
That doesn't necessarily work for everybody.
No, for sure. But, you know, what's interesting to me is, so my parents have a revocable trust and they have long-term care insurance. I have other family members who have a Medicaid trust. I have other family members who have nothing that they've done. And, it's helped as a planner, Jamie, to be able to kind of look inside the family and see these different lessons. And there certainly are times where if there's not really good communication, things could go the wrong way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so, and that question about who to pick as the executor, that really sometimes causes strife families.
It's kind of a thankless job. It's a job that I hope no one has to do because I want to avoid probate. But it's bad enough when family members are lost, and then if there's any conflict, it makes it even worse.
I'll tell you what this client did. She was, I think she had six children. Yeah, six. And
not
she
all
was worried,
six. You cannot say all six.
Yes. She was afraid of hurting feelings.
All six.
Ouch.
Awful. I think when we went to do the probate, we convinced one of them to, you can resign. If you're appointed as an executor, you can decline the appointment.
Mm-hmm.
We got it down to three co-executors, which is still too many in my opinion, but it was better than six.
That's crazy. Well, you are entitled to commissions as an executor, and you can take up to two full commissions if you have more than one executor. So sometimes there's estate planning, estate tax reasons to have more than one. But, you know, we feel bad. We want all the kids to be involved. That may make you feel good, but that's going to make Jane Marie feel awful when she's doing the estate administration.
That's kind of scary.
Because everything we do needs six signatures. And we told that to the client, and they said they understood. But then when they went to the bank, they called us, what do you mean we need all three people to have signatures?
Oh, no.
Like, explain that to you. You should have had only one.
That's a good lesson, though. I mean, because you explain it, but they don't really understand it until they actually have to use it. And then it's like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really make, that's not really a good idea. Now we got to go get three people to come in and sign this document from wherever, and they could be anywhere, Colorado, Texas, and they all got to come in and sign.
All because you wanted them to all feel equally important.
Right.
You know?
You don't want to hurt feelings. That's right.
Well, sometimes the wrong person is the fiduciary, though, Jamie. That happens a lot, too, because, you know, in the interest of being equal. And there's a certain skill set I think you need to have to be a fiduciary. And it's not what a lot of people think, because, you know, you need to know to call an accountant. You don't need to be able to do your taxes yourself. You need to be able to call a financial advisor. You don't need to be able to invest yourself, retain an attorney, right? You don't need to know all the laws. you got to find the right person. The right person isn't six right people at the same time.
No, no, it's not.
We do have webinars coming up again in just a week. You know, Ben, it's May 7th.
Yeah, Kentucky Derby Day.
It's today.
Yeah. Yep.
Who you got?
Epicenter.
We should have been talking about this the whole time.
We should have been.
Son of a gun.
Absolutely. Yeah, Epicenter. You're talking about the Mets. So
Epicenter.
Right. Yep,
tell
Epicenter.
Me.
I just like the way he's bred. I like the way he runs. I think he's going to win.
Is he a mutter? I just like saying
he may have to be because track is sloppy right now. I don't know what it's going to be like at 5:30, 5:45 when they get or 6:45 when they get ready
to
run.
What gate are they in?
Well, there's 20 horses. He's coming out of the three.
I like three.
Three is a good number.
It's a good number.
Today especially.
All right, so the three and what? What's the exact that we're doing? Three.
Let me look at my sheets here, because I have them all.
By the way, we should have a little warning here. None of the...
No. Don't. I will just say this. I had the winner of the Oaks yesterday, if I had played it.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. You're on a heater.
I like Messier.
Messier.
And Zandon. Zandon. Zandon.
Bring these down.
Okay. So it's 3-6-10.
3-6-10. We're going to bring this up next week. 3-6-10.
Yep. 3-6-10. And there's some long shots in there too that I want to put in.
I'm gonna box it just in case.
Yeah, that's fine. Yep.
Our webinar week is in a week and a half. I can't believe it's mid May in a week and a half. This is craziness.
Can we start with when a loved one dies? No.
Well, we could, but that we would be starting with Wednesday.
Okay.
Let's start with Monday.
Let's start with Monday.
Monday, May 16th at 2 p.m. Aging in place. I've spent the last 53 minutes watching Ben do it right now.
Age in place, that's
Age
right.
Age in place. Care on your couch. 2 p.m. May 16th. On Tuesday, the next day, the 17th, 2 p.m., how to plan your estate. Really a roadmap, kind of elevated view, looking down. What's the process like? What do you got to consider? Wednesday, the 18th, 2 p.m., what to do when a loved one dies. There's a lot going on when that happens. Whether you have a trust or not, there's always a lot going on. But it is a tremendous amount of work if we have to probate a will or look under couches for the third will of Aretha Franklin's or whatnot. On Thursday, May 19th, true story, by the way.
Yes.
Thursday, May 19th at 2 p.m., wills versus trusts. This is the one, guys, that gets into what Jamer and I started to talk about earlier. Right. There are different kinds of trusts for different fact patterns. You got a boatload of money and we're worried about estate taxes, millions and millions of dollars. Well, then you're probably going to private pay your care. So maybe revocable trusts geared towards estate taxes work. If we have, you know, concerns about financing our long-term care needs, a Medicaid trust may work. But that's just us talking right now. You got to go to the webinar. You got to come in for a consult. Friday the 20th at 2 p.m., Medicaid and estate planning myths. 518-465-7581 to call our office. If you'd like a seat at one of those, or just go to our website, herzoglaw.com, click on the seminar page. And most importantly, if you don't think 2 o'clock works, well, then just go to our website and watch one of the ones on demand whenever you want to. You could say, you know, I don't want to hear Dave, I want to hear Jay Murray, and go click on one with Jay Murray.
Can folks ask questions during the seminar?
Sure.
How do they do that?
So it's a Zoom, so you could virtually raise your hand or you could unmute yourself.
Do you see the people that are up there? You see them.
I choose not to see them.
Okay.
Because sometimes I see them sleeping.
Then
I
wouldn't
like
see
that.
A hand up, so that would be bad.
Well, you know, you're on a roll, then you look over and someone's snoozing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
But also we record them, so we record our screen, so I don't want everyone's faces on the recording.
Gotcha.
Yeah. What do you do, Jay Murray? Do you watch everybody?
Sometimes I do. A lot of people are snacking. You know, sometimes they're watching it in the kitchen. They're getting some food.
Miss those
Interesting.
Cookies.
So do you think it's because it's 2 p.m. and that's the snacking hour?
I think so, yeah. Good time for snacks.
Do you think it's like comfort snacks because they're uncomfortable talking about these things and hearing about it?
Yes. Food is a good thing to eat. Like, sweets are good when it's a hard topic.
Sweets are good. Sweets are also good when you're falling asleep because it's a boring time. And we try as hard as we can.
But necessary. I see that.
Oh, you got
to.
Yeah, you got
to. Necessary. You got to do it.
You got to deal with it. Everyone that doesn't want to deal with it has life insurance or beneficiaries on a retirement. They're dealing with it, but they choose to deal with it on
in a different
easy
way.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope everyone has a good Mother's Day. We only have a couple minutes here. You know, it's going to be great weather. Take your mom out, go somewhere, do something. Maybe buy a car for your kid during Mother's Day. What do you think, Jamery?
That's a great thing to do for Mother's Day. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Is your son chipping in here? He's got to be working or something, right? He's got to come up with some of it?
Last year of school, so he doesn't have enough money to chip in. But when he's done with school, he's going to take over the payments. So.
Are you going to teach him how to change oil?
Yes.
All he's got to do is make a phone call to the place.
Yeah.
Go to Jiffy Lube or something. Yeah. Come on.
I know. Jiffy Lube would be it. All right.
Well, times like this, I miss Car Talk. You remember Car Talk?
I do remember Car
Talk. Those guys were great.
I was right in the middle of that. That was great.
What do you mean you were in the middle of it?
I ran the shows for those when they were here.
You did?
Yeah.
They were here?
I was on the board. Yes.
They were in this seat right here?
Yes.
They were?
Yep. Yeah, we had it for an hour. It was 7 to 8 before Herzog started.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
10 years ago, maybe. Yep.
And this is great.
It was great. It really was. They taught a lot of stuff. Just like you guys do. Same thing.
More exciting than when the radio station had the Met games on. I was so excited to be on the same station.
I remember that.
That was great.
Yep, I remember.
Because then every now and then
it'd be great to have them on this year. I can tell you that.
Oh man, you'd hear a promo for the Mets and then you hear a promo for Herzog. It was great.
Back to back. That's right. Amazing. Not bad.
That's incredible.
So what will you be doing for your mom tomorrow?
She will not be in town, so I won't be seeing her, but we're going to go do a lunch with my wife and my mother-in-law and everything. It'll be fun.
That'll be nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The weather's going to be fantastic.
Beautiful.
I will not hold the golf club. I know that. That's not happening.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, it's appropriate.
It is appropriate, too bad.
It would be my last Mother's Day for my wife.
Yes, it would. I'll bet your wife could swing the club pretty good at that point.
Take out a taillight, maybe. Take care, guys. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.